When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion
or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything.
Get the right home policy at the right price
with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
What's going on? You're listening to The Frotcast, coming at you not live from a series of Frot Quarters to your Frot Quarter. I'm Vince Mancini. I am joined, as always, you know him, you love
him. Keep talking, make sure that the music ends.
Regular Matt Lieb.
Slip inside the eye of my butt and let me bust my nut and let me lum your ass. What's up? Oasis is back.
You didn't, I don't know, dude. You could, I think you sped up the tempo on that one.
Yeah, you're going to fucking get on my case about the tempo of that song. Like, you know how many beats per minute? Fuck you, dude.
Or is it I love beats? How everybody's excited that Oasis is back together. Like, oh man, finally 20 years later, we can hear the same 8 bars of a good melody repeated over and over and over
for 7 minutes.
Yeah. Which is, they're good 8 bars.
They're really good 8 bars. Like, yeah. people sleep on those bars, no. But bars.
Like a champagne supernova in my butt.
Yeah. You know.
Someday you will love me.
All up in my ass crack.
Yeah,
All right. Okay. Who else is here?
We got human giant, future NFL Hall of Famer, Brendan.
Like a tongue bath supernova in my ass.
All right. Okay. Keep it going.
It's good. And joining us this week, me and Brendan watched the Scott Peterson Netflix documentary, and we thought we should bring on some true crime experts. And therefore we have, from Hollywood Crime Scene, Rachel Fisher and Desi Jedekin.
Hi, boys.
Hi. I don't have a song about my butt.
It's okay.
For one.
It doesn't have to be about your butt.
Yeah,
you
really
probably haven't met the right rock star yet.
Yeah, one day you'll meet.
I'm going to be working on it.
One of the Gallaghers. They'll eat butt. I feel like the Gallaghers, just based on their kind of like blue collar working class Manchester roots, are like the Italians of the UK.
The Italians of Britpop.
Yeah, like I bet they're like, you know, no, I would never eat a vagina, you know, like they probably don't. They probably think it's like homosexual
it's for
pleasure a woman. Yeah, exactly.
Although Desi and I had decided many years ago that the reason Steve Buscemi eats pussy from behind is because he eats a working class pussy. Like he'll eat all kinds of pussies.
I think Noel does, but I don't think Liam does.
Oh yeah, Liam definitely doesn't. Noel might do it in secret.
If he's drunk enough.
Yeah.
And he won't admit it though.
He won't admit it, and if you like told on him, he'd break up with you. Like, you know, like Junior Soprano style, you know?
And he would say, you told on me.
Yeah. Oh, you told on me, yeah? How could you do this? I was in your pussy in secret. You mean?
What do you think the first rock band
you flapped your gum, didn't it?
Me be gumming your means. All right.
What do you think the first rock band to have a song about analingus would be?
Oh, I bet it's like the 50s. And it's like some.
Well, let's assume it hasn't happened yet. Who's
I think Little Richard.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, that's what Tutti Frutti.
Yeah.
Yes.
We discussed this
I
on
think
our
it
show.
Actually is. Well, that's like anal sex, but
We did discuss Tutti Frutti on an episode once about how that is a very, we decided it's like, that's the woo, that's what goes in your ass.
The tongue.
Oh.
Is it like, so is the Tutti, is it like Patootie Frutti? Is that?
Yes.
Patootie Frutti.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original lyrics had something about like, if it's greasy, it makes it easy or something like that.
Or Tutti is what comes out if you're good at it.
That's true.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, you make
it
fart.
Well, I don't know. I'm just that, brainstorming. You
know, I think about this way too often, about how horrible I feel for Little Richard, because he was the most fabulous, like, gay rock and roll superstar ever, and he never got to just be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just had to live in the closet, even though, if you've ever seen an interview, you're like, oh, wow, he's super gay. Like, just
interview. If you've heard a song.
Well, no, I mean, but the music itself is just is just badass. It's just really good. You know,
he's like playing a piano run with his ass. And people are like, oh, yeah, that's a straight guy right there.
No, but like a lot of straight guys, like, you know, saw that and were like, oh, that was cool. And then they did it. Like, you know, that guy who married his cousin who did Great Balls of Fire. He was doing Jerry all Lee sorts Lewis. Of stuff. Yeah. But I forget who told this story on what podcast, but someone went over to Little Richard's house and he had like a coffee table book that was just close up shots of a vagina, of many vaginas. And
what?
Yeah. And he would show it to people like, doesn't this look good? And everyone was like,
that was his proof.
Yeah, that was proof that he wasn't gay.
I love pussy.
Well, look at this. I got a whole book of pussy.
I got a binder full of them.
I look at that pussy and I go, whoa! Like, it's just as if there's nothing more attractive to a straight man than just close-up vagina. Now, here's the thing. I think close-up vagina.
Than an OBGYN textbook.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's anyways. R.I.P.
Well,
Little Richard.
Case closed.
Case
He's
closed.
Straight.
Yeah, I can't believe we actually were able to answer that question.
We got it. The true crime girls have officially declared it. Case closed. Yeah.
See, I'm imagining, like, you know, assuming it hadn't been done yet, I feel like the first band to do it would be like a famous person band. Like the two ones that stick out in my mind are Phantom Planet and 30 sure. Seconds to Mars. I feel like they would both have a song.
Oh, that's
about...
an interesting choice.
Or Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, I feel like Limp Bizkit maybe.
But theirs would be jokey. I feel like Jared Leto would do it earnest.
So we want an earnest song.
We want an earnest ass eating. Yeah.
You mean like Creed singing with ass wide open or something?
Yes. Or like Godsmack.
Yeah.
Singing
a
really passionate analingus song.
I like the Creed though, because that's kind of like a Christian thing.
Yeah. Christian.
It's like, it's like, we can't have sex, but I'll eat your ass.
I can eat your asshole.
You know?
Is that against
God? There should be a Mormon band that does like all Creed style underbite singing, but like about different ways to have sex that's not really having sex. Like
soaking.
Yeah,
about soaking and bubble porn. That'd be great. Bubble porn's pretty cool. I like that.
What's
as
that?
A, that's
what
where
is that?
You.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so think of a girl in like a halter top, you know, like a strapless top, right? Or a bikini. And then you kind of like put a bubble around, you know, where all the clothes, like, just think of a circle cut out, and then all of a sudden it looks like they're topless, but you're just covering the part, you know. So it's like, this is maybe it's a very male thing, but I remember in high school when a girl would wear like a tube top, I would kind of like put my finger at, like, they'd be from far away, and then I'd be like, oh, now it looks like they're naked.
Boys are disgusting.
God. Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel good about it. I wasn't like, you know, hey guys, check this out. This is just for me.
This is my shameful private thoughts.
Yeah, I just am saying them out loud because I thought it was a safe space.
Wow. This is a safe space.
It's like I'm squishing your head, but for like masturbating.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
What do you guys ever do that's weird?
That's between me and my priest.
All right. Well, you guys, you don't have to be open about it. I got more.
go on.
No, I'm done.
Is this your kink, telling us?
No, yeah, telling people all this.
I mean, this is a Patreon exclusive, right?
Yes, that's right. It is now.
Well, yeah. There's no rules here.
Ain't no rules on these streets.
Just right. No, no
but is that Mormon right. or every guy does that, or just you?
Matt's well, not the, Mormon.
The finger thing with the halter top. I guess that was my way of trying to relate to bubble porn. You know.
I see.
Just being like, haven't you guys ever done that? Like, think of a guy in a bathing suit and then just put your hand over, you know, where the bathing suit would be. And then doesn't it look like a naked guy?
But your hand's still covering the parts.
Well, right. But you're like, it's like Schrodinger's like penis. Like
it's the illusion.
Yeah. It tricks your brain into thinking that person's naked.
Yes.
I see.
Your brain goes.
Got it.
Oh, what if he's naked? I don't know.
So is that what bubble porn actually is?
That's what bubble porn is. So if you Google image shirts bubble porn, you'll see a bunch of stuff that's not bubble porn, that's just actual porn. But then you will see eventually Mormon porn.
Everything you search is always a porn category. I know.
Yeah.
I used to have the safe filter, you know, off, because I was like, why would I want my images, you know, like, censor, just like I'm just searching for whatever, and then I realize everything's porn. So if you search it with the thing off, then you're gonna find a porn of what you're looking for, and that's not good.
Mm-mm.
What's in the news, Vince?
Well, you just got back from Chicago. I wanted to ask you about it.
Oh, yeah, Chicago was great. It was a lot of fun. By which I mean it was our flight was first canceled, and then we had to take one at 7 in the morning. I had to wake up at 4:30. Most of this is just going to be about how horrible it was to get there. And then the shows were really fun, but then my daughter got me sick again. And then, you know, I have a car update.
Okay, go on.
Matt Lieb car update. Rachel and Desi, for those of you who don't know, my car broke down on the way to San Francisco a few weeks ago.
No.
Like an hour outside of San Francisco. And then it's just been staying up there for almost a month now.
Wait. God. Matt.
What?
That happened to me when I was 18. Driving from LA to San Francisco, my car broke down like an hour outside of Modesto.
Oh, shit.
And then it stayed in Modesto getting fixed for like 4 months.
Do you think that Scott Peterson ever walked by your car?
I know. I was just thinking
probably.
That's chilling.
I know.
What if that's how he got the idea?
Oh my. This 92 Volvo really makes me want to murder my wife.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Butterfly effect, dude. One little flap of the wings and all of a sudden, you know, wives are getting killed.
Yeah, he saw the Bay Area and was like, Marina, that's where I'm going to dump her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe it, but so it was only up there for a month, but I it was like up there getting fixed. They didn't fix it. Both times it was brought back. Both times they said, "Okay, now the car won't overheat." They lied. Still overheated. So I drove it to CarMax, and they gave me $1,700 for it.
Oh shit!
So you need to get a new car now.
Yeah. Yeah, now I've got a whole new set of problems. But
you
got to
take that $1,700 and go get yourself a new car.
Yeah, yeah, easy. No, I've got another $1,700 where that comes from. Matt Lieb about to get a fucking, what is that, 2,400? I can't do the math. I'm so sick. my baby just keeps giving me new things.
Yeah, they do that. First 18 months.
Chicago was great. Sold the car. And
did you get to? Was it like? Were you near the convention? Did you get any merch that says Brat
nothing.
On it? Or no?
No, okay. I have no interesting story from my time in Chicago. It literally was just in and out, and I ate some good food. You know, I went to one of those Chicago chains that they got there.
Uno's? Lou Malnati's?
Sabaro Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you
I
got to get
my,
that authentic Chicago deep dish.
I got
Sbarro.
A deep dish, yeah. And calzone. That was sick. And then, yeah, I met a really, like, a lot of, like, really nice large men.
Like Chicagoans?
Yeah, like large Chicago guys, like who listened to the podcast, and I was like, oh, that's great, man. Like not just like big, but like tall, like
tall.
Yeah, it's like a city filled with Brendans. Did you know that, Brendan?
Yeah, there was some large people there.
Yeah, it was,
I noticed. It's been a while, but there were large people there.
Yeah. And we were right
because they got those big lakes, and you got to have people that are
big lake guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you want to,
totally
you know,
makes sense.
When the lake is big, you're like, oh, people should be big too.
Yeah, I mean,
we're going there for the first time in November for for our tour. I've never been to Chicago. Desi, have you been to Chicago?
No. I've had a Chicago dog though.
She's had a Chicago hot dog.
Oh,
I've never had a Chicago hot dog, and both of us. Obviously, I mean, it's hack at this point, but we both like hate Chicago deep dish pizza. We find the concept of it upsetting
because it's a casserole,
because it's a fucking casserole and they put the sauce on top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, the sauce on top is the weirdest part.
Yeah. And, so we're going to try one for the first time. We're going to split it. We're going to split one.
You know,
piece.
A good one's pretty good. I got to say, it's not something I'm going to eat every day, but I enjoy it.
I'm just so skeptical about it.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it's good. It's
I have to have try it, though.
Have you ever ridden on a train that's above the ground, that's above, that's like, you know,
you
above
mean like the
BART? Road level?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, well, you'll love it there. You'll love it there.
Vince was blown away.
Whoa. What's this train doing up here?
Above the ground? Oh, yeah. It's madness.
What is it doing all the way up here? It should be down there.
Like a choo-choo train?
Yeah, choo-choo train.
I think it's a good concept. I feel like if you have a choice to put the train above
like
the ground.
That's how all trains used to be.
Yeah, but these ones are like above. These are like second story trains.
I'm sorry, but...
Okay.
But even New York has above ground. They go above sometimes.
Aren't you
above sometimes. So usually you're under the ground
and
it's all dark. But then like, you know, you get on a train in Chicago, you're like, oh man, I can see everything. It's like
like
when
a
you ride
monorail?
Yeah, it's a bus, elevated train. It's above. It's elevated. I think that's a good idea.
We've been on the Disneyland monorail.
Yeah, yeah, that's a cool train.
It's like that, except for two
rails.
Well, that sounds
fun. There might be
fun.
A third one, but
triple rail.
Get overcomplicated. That's the one you don't step on, I think, is the third
triple
one.
Rail. Sounds like Vince's mom's Saturday night.
Wow.
Gotcha.
She doesn't even like trains, though.
I don't know. You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, no, I got it. I hate you.
The only thing I'll have to say about authentic Chicago style pizza is when we went there for the live Frotcast, we got the Lou Malnati's and it was like, yeah, this is the authentic stuff. And I ate one piece and I was like, yeah, that's okay. And then I got up and immediately had explosive diarrhea.
Immediately?
I believe
like,
it.
Immediately, yes.
I believe it.
Isn't how immediate? Because like that's got to be something else, right?
Well, as soon as I was done eating.
I was like, I was picturing you sitting, it was holding it in, and then you stood up. Yeah, and
you take one bite, and
fell
you
out.
Yeah.
No, it had the common decency to let me finish.
Oh, that's
okay,
nice.
Okay.
But it was like one slice. It was not like I, you know, ate a bunch of it.
But now they get defensive about it, Chicagoans. Now they're like, that's not locals don't eat that. We eat the tavern style.
Yeah, tavern style.
Well, tavern style isn't deep dish, right?
No, it's thin.
No, it's crackery. It's the opposite.
But I don't think, I think that doesn't sound like good to me either, to be honest.
That sounds fine to me. The deep dish, no.
It's not as much of an abomination as the deep dish.
So with the deep dish, they're taking like a quiche crust and then they're putting raw sausage on the bottom. I don't know if you know this. It's, they put it in raw.
It
they put the tomato
raw.
Sauce that's also in there, just straight out of the can, onto the sausage. So they're basically making like red sauce gravy, like in a bread bowl in the oven. Is basically what.
I don't
Chicago style.
I don't.
It's fine.
Hate it. I'm
I don't
like.
Know. It's weird, but
it's one of those things where it's like, I think half of the reason it gets flack is because it's called pizza, not like some sort of special like. You know, have some
open face calzone.
Have some pasta soup or whatever, you know.
It's the first Franken food and it's like not really acknowledged as a Franken food. They're just like, oh no, this is how we do it. But that's also that feels very Midwest.
I
casseroles.
I think I like the Midwest. Everyone there was very nice. Even like
I
the
love
people.
The Midwest.
Yeah,
no, they're great. I don't think they have a vibrant food culture necessarily, but yeah.
Well, not according to the show, The Bear. Show The Bear says true. That they're always making and eating food.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to find like the ethnic neighborhoods that have like authentic Polish food, or
yeah, like wherever,
not just
the
in Chicago,
from.
But wherever you are in the Midwest, and then you're gonna get some good food.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what they've created that I'm like dying to try.
Yeah, no one's running out and being like, "Ooh, Skyline Chili, let's do it."
No. I think Skyline Chili. Look, there's a few regional foods that I think are like absolutely disgusting that I haven't tried, but I will never try. And one of them is Skyline Chili.
Wait, what's Skyline Chili? Is it the same thing like when the train
is
above?
Shitty red chili that they put over plain spaghetti noodles.
Yeah.
But they also dump cinnamon in the chili.
Oh, whoa, what are they doing?
It's a cinnamon chili, which in theory could be good if the chili was like, you know, good
Moroccan chili.
Yeah. If it was like a kind of, oh, this is an interesting flavor profile and we have all these other spices in here. But it's like, from what it looks like in the pictures, it is dry spaghetti with Hormel chili dumped on the top, covered in cold shredded cheese and served to you.
It looks very cafeteria. It looks very middle school cafeteria food.
Yeah,
I once judged a chili cook-off and someone put spaghetti in their chili and I gave them 0 points, even though it was a pretty generous judging scenario. Wow. Where everyone was getting like 4 and I was like, nope.
She was the meanest judge.
And I put, it's because you put spaghetti in it and you immediately got 0.
Was anyone mad at you?
Everyone was kind of like, whoa, we're just chilling here.
Yeah, we're just having fun. This is a chill chili cook-off.
Why are you getting so serious?
This was not a serious chili cook-off. This was like a fundraiser, I think. Like this, and Desi's over here being like, spaghetti, unhappy face on her notes.
I mean, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
Look, yeah, I was taking
I would
my
have
time
stood
out.
In solidarity with you, Desi.
Thank you.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, yeah.
I want to go where the bear makes food. He seems.
I do want an Italian hot beef.
I do too.
That's what I want to try.
No, that is a good sandwich. I'll give that.
Never
that's a
had
good
one.
I like when it's, in that show they're always like, "Hey, cousin, that's fun."
Yeah, there's a lot of like with the crosstalk on that show. It's a bit too much for me. Where I'm like, all right, there's too much yelling.
I was done after season 2.
Same.
I was like, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Wait, was this most recent season, season 2?
No,
season 3.
I didn't even watch it.
I haven't watched season 3.
This one
either.
Started out off with like an extended montage of him like remembering stuff. And like it was like remembering stuff between like plating food and went on for like 35 minutes. I was like, okay, like this is not that kind of show you guys have gotten. Your reviews have gone to your head at this point. So
yeah.
It's also like not that serious.
Exactly.
It's not that serious.
And it's not like funny, and that's the thing is like I don't mind if it's a show that's not funny,
yeah.
But
not with that much crosstalk. With that much crosstalk and yelling, it should be funny.
Somebody should say something funny.
It has the cadence of comedy, but it's not one. And you're like, why?
I like the cousin. He's funny.
Well, the cousin's really hot.
The actor's
well, exactly. Oh, yeah. That too.
He's so hot. He is funny.
He's like the only funny character though, who says funny things.
Wait, you mean the one who ate the butt and the girls? That guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Wait, is this the one who keeps saying cousin over and over again?
Yes.
Yeah. He's the cousin who says cousin.
Yeah. But he's not actually
talking about
related.
Perfect Strangers?
Yeah, we're talking about Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
He was in the
Girls.
HBO's John Adams miniseries, and he played Quincy Adams. And I remember being
that's
like,
right.
Hey, that's that's the guy who says cousin.
By the way, like I feel like Lena Dunham doesn't get enough credit for all the dudes that she discovered because I'm sorry, like she put that guy in her show, she put Adam Driver in her show,
yeah.
Andrew Rannells, like she's got good taste in dudes that she puts in shows. Like say what you will,
very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, the girls are probably like the least like they got the least amount of like roles from that, like except for maybe.
Do you ever think
like,
that's because of sexism, Matt?
Oh, I definitely think it's. Yeah, no, totally.
I think Allison Williams played Peter Pan.
She, oh. do you remember that?
That's right.
The Allison, live musicals. Allison Williams from Girls. And then later Get Peter Out.
Pan. She played Peter Pan.
NBC. Yeah. I think it was NBC.
It was a live musical.
They were doing all these live musicals and they cast her as Peter Pan. And just the promotional stills from it were so funny.
Right.
And it was such a bizarre casting choice because nobody knew her as like a musical theater actor.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they only know her as Brian Williams' daughter.
Yeah. Right. You think, like, because most actors, you just assume they can sing. But, like, when they're the daughter of a famous person, you kind of figure they're like, yeah, I didn't bother with that part because I never, like, needed to do that.
Oh, yeah, look, Peter Pan. I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking at the promotional stills. Ooh, is it, hold on. What does it say about me that she looks really good there? What's up, girl?
I mean, it's not a weird thing to say.
Take me to Never Neverland. She, I just think I like short haircuts.
Mm.
So what's the news?
Well,
are you bubble porning her?
Yeah, bubble porning her.
We did watch the
bubble porning her, but in my mind is adding Peter Pan clothes. Okay.
Just putting two fingers over someone's eyes so you can see what they look like with an eye patch.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Here's what she looks like with no depth perception.
So in the news.
Brendan and I watched
I watched it too.
You did. Well, I was gonna start with me and Brendan watched it and then we forced you to watch it.
Oh, yes.
Yay.
Did you girls also watch it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean
you forced us too.
I would just jump in and say the inspiration was, you know, just watching it, seeing what a dumb guy he is. Yeah. I was like, we can't not cover this. This is like right in our wheelhouse of just covering a very stupid person.
Yeah. That's true. You guys
had a group text. Who was arguing, I believe he's innocent, and who was arguing he wasn't innocent in this group text?
Oh, me. If I had been in a group text in which we were talking about this, mm-hmm. I would have been the guy who, for the first, I would say episode and a half, I was like, I don't know, man. It kind of seems like a Gone Girl situation. and then it wasn't until like the point at which like he had a mistress or he had like a girl he was cheating on with. And then he told her like, oh, my wife's about to die or whatever.
No, he said my wife's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said like she's gone
she's missing and that was like 2 weeks before she actually went missing,
right? That's
and
when I was
the
like
boat stuff the boat stuff is bad,
but if you were gonna kill your wife, why would you use that as a reason?
Why
that
would
that could
use...
be too like why would you say she's missing gone 2 weeks before it happens? Wouldn't that
I thought
make
he just said
suspicious
oh. I thought he just said that she died.
She said, yeah, well, he didn't explicitly
said,
you know,
said
she's gone or something. Mm.
By the way, the answer to your question, Desi, is because he's an incredibly stupid person.
That's true. That is true.
So he's bad at crime.
Yeah. So like for me, the most damning detail in this whole thing is the fact that he's living in Modesto. He bought a boat the same day that he told his mistress that his wife was gone or dead or whatever. He told the cops when they first like talked to him, like, oh yeah, I couldn't have done it. I was actually taking my new boat that no one knew I had out to the Berkeley Marina.
Yeah, to go
now,
fishing.
And as a person who lives in the Central Valley, ain't nobody from fucking Modesto taking their boat on its maiden voyage to the Berkeley Marina, number one. Right. And number two, like, her body was found, like, I don't know, a mile from where he took his boat. And
where
like,
he said he was.
Yeah. I mean, he put himself there, which is hilarious. I think he had to because he had the receipt from, like, he had to pay for a fishing license and like, pay for the boat docking fee. So, like, he was there. It was documented. So he kind of had to put that in there. But then it's like, so if you're saying he's innocent, you're assuming that two people in Modesto just happened to be at the Berkeley Marina on the same day. Like, there's no way there's a million lakes around. That's the whole thing of the Central Valley. There's lakes fucking everywhere. Like, you would not take your boat to the Berkeley Marina to test it out. And to have that on top of that's where her body was found, like, come on.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
So I watched the pro Scott Peterson documentary a month or so ago.
Is the one on Peacock?
I'm 40 minutes into it.
It's on Hulu.
Oh,
it's not on Peacock.
There's a different one on Peacock too.
Okay, I didn't watch that one, but this one was on Hulu, and it was from a few years ago.
Okay.
And here's their explanation for this. Is the first piece of information where I was like, oh, maybe he could be innocent.
Oh shit.
And it was so there's a lot of online sleuths, right? We all know about those freaks. Yeah. And
they're really
they
good
said,
at figuring out who did crimes.
They said that the police usually don't give away information, certain information. We all know this. And one of the pieces of information they gave before the body was found was where he was fishing that day. So their theory is that someone could have easily said, let's dump the body there so that when they find it, it'll be where Scott has. They've told us Scott was that day.
I saw that theory on Reddit because immediately I always go to Reddit after I watch something. Then I can form my opinion.
Yeah.
I can't think for myself. But
yeah,
like
that's
to,
how
I like
I form
Reddit's
opinions
opinion.
By who got the most upvotes.
Well, somebody got downvoted a lot when they floated this theory. They were like, look, I mean, they clearly just watched this Hulu documentary.
Right.
I was like, that is interesting. I just, given everything else, I am in the guilty camp.
Yeah, given everything else that like he does and says. Also, so like the crazy thing was that like the Innocence Project took up his case, and there was this other piece of evidence that he had a van that was discovered near the house with like a bloody mattress in it.
What?
And like back in March, they got a judge to grant new DNA testing on the mattress. And I don't know, or sorry, this was in May. I don't know what the results of that were, but to me it seems like, okay, if that was her blood, that kind of is your whole case right there. And if it's not, like that is not your, then it's done. And considering we haven't heard anything about that since May, I have to think that it wasn't her blood.
Well, maybe they're still testing it.
Maybe.
So in the NBC documentary, they actually say that they did one of those like quick field tests where they had the little test tube with the
where the cop just puts his pinky in it and then takes it.
Tastes like Lacey.
So they had the luminol test tube and it reacted, and so they're like, oh, it's blood. And then they sent it, like, they don't go and explain this anymore because this is a pretty pro Peterson doc, the Peacock one. But then they're like, and then they sent the full sample in for more rigorous testing and it wasn't blood. And then they just kind of move on from there. And I'm like, well,
okay.
Kind of seems like
okay, so you have a van with a mattress with a stain on it. Like, okay. Yeah.
But it could have been blood.
You show me a block in Modesto, I'll show you a van with a mattress and a stain on it in the back.
Yeah, no. I mean, or a mattress with some blood on it. I got a mattress with some blood on it in this house right now.
Yeah, and that's just because your nostrils get dry sometimes.
Or because sometimes I cut myself. Not for fun, accidentally, because okay.
That's what OJ said.
Yeah. Well, OJ was right. I honestly, I'm not fully convinced on OJ either. I think the Nicole Brown Simpson is doing some sort of Gone Girl situation.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I saw Gone Girl, every time something comes up in the news, I'm like, what if that's one of those Gone Girl situations?
Wait, every time a woman does something, you know, like, you're not going to pull a Gone Girl on me.
Oh, you're going to Gone Girl me. I know it. I don't want an elaborate ruse to make me look like the bad guy.
I don't want to derail the Frot Peterson, but there was also the true crime documentary on Netflix about the woman who was kidnapped in Vallejo. By the serial rapist.
Yeah.
And like all the cops, their whole reason for not doing anything about it was like, yeah, well, haven't you seen Gone Girl?
No.
The fictional movie about a fictional character.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever people start bringing in a movie, it's like the secret dwarf girl when the parents are like, no, seriously, yes. it's exactly like Orphan. She's actually like, Natalia Grace, she's actually like a secret dwarf hooker. Haven't you ever seen The Orphan?
Yeah. Haven't you seen the movie?
Okay. Yeah, that's a movie.
Yeah, that should be grounds for immediate dismissal from law enforcement, is if you're just like, oh, your entire detective persona is, I saw a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie where
you detective... walk, you walk into a murder scene. Haven't you seen Nightmare on Elm Street? Case
yeah.
closed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, this looks a lot like someone who got murdered in their dreams. Just wherever you go. Every murder, the Gone Girl situation.
Honestly, that would be a funny character sketch. Yeah. The cop who always is like, "Well, maybe they got sucked into the bed, and that's why there's blood everywhere."
Yeah. Just,
did she see a? Did she see a videotape? A mysterious videotape 7 days before this? Because
clearly an Event Horizon type situation. Oh, a portal your hell was open here.
Have you checked TV Land to see if they're in Pleasantville? Perhaps they are in Pleasantville. Teaching people about color.
It's funny that you brought up, well, not funny, but it's obvious that you brought up Gone Girl, because it's like impossible not to see Gone Girl when you relive all this footage. I think because they deliberately like made a lot of the movie of Gone Girl a riff on Scott Peterson.
It was based on the idea of Gone Girl came from someone seeing the Scott Peterson stuff and said, well, what if he didn't do it? And she just, you know how sometimes bitches be crazy.
Yeah.
That's like literally the entire plot of the movie.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my defense is that bitches be tripping.
I brought in an expert witness.
Cat Williams. Tell the jury, do women be shopping?
Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, it is like.
But Ben Affleck doing that little smile in Gone Girl.
Yes. Oh. He did a great job being Scott Peterson in that movie. Because I'll admit, like, I only knew about this case from like supermarket magazines where I would see what Lacey Peterson looked like, but I didn't know what Scott looked like. Like, I have a vague memory of just kind of bland white man. And then watching the doc, I was like, dude, Ben Affleck nailed him to a T. That kind of just like disinterested, possibly like, because
a shitty dude.
Yeah. And you asked the question, you know, which I think is a fair question that movie asks, which is like, when something traumatic happens to someone, are you immediately guilty if you're just kind of, I don't want to say like autistic,
inarticulate, but
like you know, not showing in your face that you are grief stricken. Like, do you need to put on a show? And I felt like, you know, I was giving Scott Peterson the benefit of the doubt, because I was like, I don't know, man. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he just doesn't want to suffer, you know, cry in front of the media and stuff. And then as like evidence came out, I was like, oh yeah, he did that shit.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to, like, I never like when they're like, well, the 911 call was very strange.
Yeah, right? I hate
then
that.
Then the cops get tunnel vision and they start investigating that person based on them not having a perfect 911 call. So I'm always very hesitant to sort of place guilt or decide guilt based on somebody's personality. But Scott Peterson has such a bad personality that
he's a uniquely unsettling person.
Evidence.
So he's guilty no matter what, because I don't like him.
I don't like him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when you say give him the benefit of the doubt, there's like so many doubts that you would have to give him. Like, okay, they discovered he had a mistress, and you're like, well, okay, sure, but you know.
Yeah, it doesn't make you a killer.
Yeah. And then he told his mistress, like, while this is a huge news story from Christmas on, because this woman's still missing. As of New Year's, he's telling his girlfriend over a wire he's lying about being in France for New Year's Day for some reason. Like, what the fuck? And also, like, how did he think that was gonna, how did he think that he, like, once she found out that his wife was missing and she realizes, like, hey, weren't you in France like a week after your wife disappeared? It smacks of a guy who tells lies and is so dumb that he assumes other people are also like that dumb, that they're not going to check any of his lies.
So here's what I've been kind of wrestling with since I watched it. The Netflix documentary kind of does the obligatory, like, you know, he was just a normal kid, was really happy, you know, like that whole thing.
Yeah.
But like, the family members, they really do talk about him adoringly. And this could be like confirmation bias or selection bias, rather, where, of course, the only family members that are going to want to talk on camera are the people that have good things to say. Right. But like, still, I couldn't, it did feel like there was quite a bit of like great guy, everyone loved him, super charming, like that sort of thing. And then he didn't participate in the Netflix documentary. And really the only, like, you don't see that much of him. You see the interrogation videos, but then the calls that were recorded.
Yeah.
He's so weird. And like, I got so creeped out by him where he's like, I think we'd be good for each other and have a good life together. Yeah. You know, and then I'm like, how is this contrasted with everyone being like, you know, just a great guy? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of convinced that like his family's really weird and they're like, hey, you're an awesome guy. You know, and like never like checked him. So like he kind of lived in this weird bubble where he just thought he was like a cool dude who could just like do anything.
Yeah.
I don't
think
that's
kind of my like crank theory, but
I feel like he was just a normal teen who might have been socially awkward sometimes, and his family was more like he didn't do anything bad, so he was a good kid. And I do think he's like a classic guy who's kind of a nerd and then starts getting some pussy interested in him.
Yeah,
then he thinks he's a cool guy when Amber was interested in him. And I think it beefed him up. And that's typically when, like, let's say like some uggo comic gets a little like stage time and then dumps his longtime girlfriend because women start wanting him.
Yes.
And then they start, it's like, look at yourself. Like, you're not that.
You're a schlub.
Yeah. You're a schlub. Like, stop, calm the fuck down. So I feel like that's kind of what happened to him.
Yeah.
And he made it. I just feel like his family, I believe his family think that. They're like, he was a good kid. He didn't do anything. Like, because he didn't. There's no record of him ever being weird, killing animals. Like, whatever, and that's
right, but there's
what
also
I find...
no record of him getting, like, tons of pussy up until he married Lacey, so he has his glow-up. As a guy who, you know, used to be ugly and then stayed ugly, but then Adam Driver became famous and made it okay for me to be attractive. You know, I remember early on in my dating life having no idea how to break up with someone, being so afraid of that confrontation that I was just, I would be like, oh, I'm just, what if we just avoid each other for the rest of our lives, you know? Like ghosting. Like, what if he didn't know how to ghost and he's just like, I just gonna have to kill her. Like,
I mean, he's this guy who grew up in San Diego.
Right. Oh,
he grew up in San Diego. He grew up in San Diego. He was on the golf team with Phil Mickelson. He was got like recruited to be like a golfer.
Wow.
He goes to Arizona. Gets kicked off the golf team. I have a news story about that I'll read in a second. Gets kicked off the golf team. He ends up at, you know, in Cuesta in Cal Poly. He meets this girl. And he goes from growing up in San Diego and going to Cal Poly to moving to Modesto to be a fertilizer salesman. And then like, didn't want to have kids. And then his wife, like he feels like the guy who married his first girlfriend. And then now they're about to have a kid and she's watching Martha Stewart and he's a fertilizer salesman. Like,
I'm just baffled though, how that turns into murder. Like, where is that stuff? Cause usually they would history. Like,
I mean, this is a classic, this is like very classic Dateline. There are countless episodes of Dateline where the guy is kind of boring. Like a Scott Peterson type where it's like nothing particularly remarkable about him. He's married. They either have a kid or there's a kid on the way and he meets someone at work or wherever the fuck. And it's like, oh, this is second time I've gotten pussy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Time to kill the first one.
Time to kill the first one. And instead of getting a divorce or breaking up with their girlfriend, they decide let's kill her. Like Chris,
I mean, that's where his inarticulateness comes into play, because it feels like he seems like the type of guy that like wouldn't be able to articulate like, hey, I don't want to be married to you and live in Modesto or whatever anymore. And
clearly he's a very short-sighted person. Like every decision he made was so short-sighted. Like he can't handle a little bit of pain for like a long-term better outcome, even to the point at which like when he finally admits that he was like not in France, and you know he has that conversation with his secret girlfriend.
He keeps trying to admit things piecemeal instead of like realizing
so
that like
she goes, "Wait a second, you said that your wife was dead," and he was like, "I didn't say that." No, actually, what I said, what I said was gone, which could imply multiple things. And you're just like, bro, like you're,
yeah, you're gonna get caught in this.
It's so, the slowest Band-Aid ripoff ever.
Yeah.
I have a couple of stories because I wanted to know what he was like before this. So I was like trying to find anything about him, like before this happened. so of course I have a really good article from the UK Sun. Scott Peterson, nice. A total douche. during his time at Cal Poly, Trevor, now 48, was a classmate of murdered teen Kristen Smart and was among the very last people to see her alive in May 1996.
Who's
great
this
opening.
Guy?
Not sure how it's relevant, but okay.
It's like the Forrest Gump of true crime.
Yeah. Peterson also attended Cal Poly and was speculatively linked to the case during the trial of Smart's killer, Paul Flores. Okay. I don't know why. I guess they're trying to soak up the SEO of Kristen yes. Smart on this one. But in 1997, roughly a year after the disappearance of Smart, Jesus Christ, quit it with Kristen Smart.
Gotta get that money, dude.
Yeah. Trevor was working for Cal Poly's student newspaper, the Mustang Daily, where he sold
advertising. The editor of which went on to write Deadpool 3 in theaters now.
Where he sold advertising space to local businesses. One day, he said he received a call from a woman who told him that she and her husband had just opened a new restaurant in the town called The Shack, and they were wondering if he could stop by their home to discuss advertising rates. Trevor obliged the request and was greeted at the door by the woman, Lacey Peterson, who he remembers as gorgeous and incredibly nice. Lacey invited Trevor inside and introduced him to her husband, Scott. Unlike the warm and welcoming Lacey, Trevor said Scott was hostile, condescending, and totally douchey.
Douchey?
What are you doing here? I'm going to kill my wife later.
He said, I go inside and her husband is in there cooking hamburgers and he's just completely the opposite of her. I remember meeting Lacey and thinking, wow, she's so pretty, so nice, and so friendly. But he wasn't like that at all. He was totally douchey. He kept saying to me, are you going to make us millionaires, bud, by putting little ads in your paper?
I love this. I love this part of the true crime story where after they've already been convicted or they're a suspect and people are coming out of the woodwork to tell these like very innocuous stories. I was in high school with Scott Peterson and he farted, but he sneezed to cover up the fart.
And everybody knew he farted.
Right. They're incentivized to make it seemed like they were bad.
By the way, along the same lines, a very fun day on the internet was when Michael Orr from The Blind Side came out and basically said like the family had taken advantage of him, ripped him off.
Right.
And then r/Memphis just went off with like service people just saying like, I waited on that family. They fucking suck. Just like pages and pages of like.
Yeah. See, that's actual
evidence,
though.
Yeah, we're at
the
golf course, and that guy's a dick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it because that, like, that falls in line with that kind of behavior, you know, stealing from your own, you know, son, profiting off of this story. Whereas, like, you know, people talking about someone who's just straight up did a double murder. And they're like, yeah, I went over to his house and he was cooking burgers weird.
Well, and honestly, not to defend Scott, but maybe he was douchey because this guy was so horny for Lacey. Like,
yeah. He came in and was like, oh, she was so beautiful and nice. And I kept saying, oh, you're so beautiful and nice. Where's your husband?
Going out? Yeah. Well, to be fair, this story gets worse.
Okay.
He was just really dismissive and kind of rude. But I thought, whatever, a sale is a sale. Several weeks would pass before Trevor received a call from his manager informing him that the Peterson
summertime and the living is thirsty again. Once again, I've done that joke. And once again, it's a great joke.
Very funny, Matt.
Thank you.
But you're right. It is summer. And during the summer, I love to keep Fiji water on hand to keep my family and me hydrated and refreshed.
Here's the thing about Fiji water. It really is from the islands of Fiji.
You're a liar.
No, I swear to God, it actually is. Drop by drop, Fiji water collects in a sustainable, ancient, artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. But I'm always wondering, Vince, how does Fiji water taste so good?
That's such a good question. And the answer is that as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its signature soft, smooth taste. You know, yesterday I happened to take my son to California's largest water park, and you know, it's hot out, the sun's beating down, you're carrying a toddler around, you get thirsty.
Sure do.
And you know what I did?
What?
I reached a meaty paw out for that natural artesian spring water that comes only from Fiji.
That's right. That's right. And listen, I enjoy Fiji water on a hot day. I enjoy Fiji water on a cold day. I enjoy Fiji water on a medium day. Just basically whenever I'm thirsty, I reach for a nice bottle of Fiji water.
I know your mouth gets dry when you're trying to do those royalty freestyles sometimes.
It does. It does. I have a very dry mouth. People have commented on that. And I like to wet it with the Fiji water. And here's the thing, Vince. Unlike some other premium bottled water, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring.
That's like the best kind of electrolytes. And this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7. Fiji water really is Earth's finest water. And since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic. So you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water.
Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up today for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office.
It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
...hadn't been paying their invoices. He called Lacey, who said she wasn't sure what happened because Scott handled their finances. She gave him Scott's cell phone number and told him to call immediately. When Trevor got a hold of Scott, he was driving in his car. He calmly assured Trevor, "The check's in the post, buddy." but no such payment ever arrived. I'm pretty sure he said mail, but this is a British publication.
Yeah.
So
yeah, consequently, so funny.
I'm in the car park right now, buddy. Yeah, the check's exactly. in the post.
I don't like that. I don't like that when British magazines do that, when they take a quote by an American and they make them say my mom. That's not what they said.
Yeah. What are they doing there? I feel like that.
I might lose you. I'm in a lift right now.
Yeah. I'm on the loo. I can't talk to you. Let me check my schedule. That's probably not, spelled differently.
Diary.
You know, I'd say diary.
Yeah, there we go.
Consequently, advertisements of the shack were pulled from the Mustang Daily without warning. A short while later, Trevor
Mustang
had just...
Mustang Daily! Sorry. I can't. I'm sorry.
Trevor had just come out of class when his manager called him again. Hey, do you remember that couple whose ads we stopped running because they weren't paying? Well, the husband just came here looking for you, and he looked pretty mad. The manager told Scott that he, quote, had to pay his bills and the issue wasn't Trevor's fault, but it did little to calm Scott Peterson's anger. My boss told me I should watch myself, recounted Trevor. He said, I just don't want him to come up here and hit you because he was complaining his business had dropped off.
Well,
that's another classic, though, thing after a killer. Someone's like, oh, yeah, it could have been me.
Yeah. Could have been me. We stopped running his hamburger ads.
And he was really pissed. I really escaped out. Yeah, I lucked out on that one.
I felt bad for the...
He probably didn't kill me because he knew I was a karate champion. Yeah, just come back from the gym.
He saw my forearms and he was like, oh, those are pretty massive. I lift. No, but like I felt bad for the secret girlfriend because in her mind she's going... Man, I dodged a bullet. But she can't say that, you know, because obviously...
Well, she came out in this looking great because like...
No, I know, but she can't say
the
words,
I dodged a
bullet.
As soon as she found out, she was like, oh, I will wear a wire and try to get this guy arrested. Like, that was pretty legit.
Yeah, no, I mean, she got the evidence, basically.
I have a question.
What's up?
Am I dumb or do cops always just stop by Radio Shack to pick up equipment for a wire? I don't know why that was like so odd.
I think
like we went to Radio Shack. Don't they just have that shit?
No, I don't think the thing about. I mean, if I learned anything from The Wire,
I was gonna say this is The Wire.
I learned that cops have to buy most of their own gear, like other than their like fancy hat and nightsticks. Like,
Herc had to put the microphone on his credit card.
He had to buy his own wire for Fuzzy Dunlop. So it actually makes total sense that a Fresno cop would be like, let's go to Radio Shack and get a bug. Yeah.
Modesto, thank you.
Also, men of a certain age back then love Radio Shack.
Yeah, 100%, dude. Radio Shack was just—it was a place to go where you're like, "You guys got any weird cords?" I'm trying to get this stereo to work.
Just wanted to go in there to talk to his buddy about wires.
What kind of weird cords you guys got?
I have another story about him getting kicked off the golf team.
Oh.
In 1987, University High School in San Diego, which had one of the strongest golf teams in the area, was scheduled to play in the CIF San Diego section team championship on the same day a U.S. Open local qualifier was being held. The team reportedly concluded that Phil Mickelson should play the local qualifier, and Peterson, a freshman, replaced him in the CIF team championship. Peterson followed Mickelson to Arizona State, though he never played for the Sun Devils. He reportedly was thrown off the golf team. Golf Channel's Randall Mell, then writing for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, reported that the father of future PGA Tour player Chris Couch was responsible for Peterson's dismissal. Chris had traveled to Tempe, Arizona on a recruiting visit, and when Father Chip picked him up at the airport upon his return, he noticed his son was hungover, Mell wrote. I found out that Scott had taken Chris out drinking and meeting girls, Chip told Mell. I called the golf coach and told him I was very unhappy about that. Chris was the number one junior in the country, and they really wanted him to play there. The coach called back and told me that he had thrown Scott Peterson off of the golf team. Opted to go to the University of Florida. First of all, it's a college recruiting trip. Of course people on the team are going to take him out drinking.
Yeah, haven't you seen He Got Game? Rick Fox was giving Jesus Shuttlesworth like women with their titties out and stuff. Like, this is just that version, but for golf and Sun Devils.
Brendan, I have to think you. I have to think you went on college recruiting trips and or hosted people who were trying to go to San Diego State.
Yes. Yeah,
was it like that?
Kind of what you do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Kind of the whole point.
You never got kicked off the team for taking a recruiting.
No, which leads me to believe that the coach just fucking hated this guy anyway and was looking for any excuse. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
But also, I will say these stories aren't that big to me. Like they're not really they're not proving Scott was some deranged serial killer on the make. No. Like,
if anything,
I just thought they were funny.
I think they're funny, but it's just kind of like that's all they could get. Like,
If there is anything instructive to be taken from that, it's I do think that's a very flimsy pretense for kicking someone off the team. So I do think that maybe this golf coach was already totally skeeved out by him.
I do like imagining if one of us like was involved in a murder and then they interviewed people from college and they're he stole our keg and like buried it in the baseball field, like total psychopath. Like,
Well, Matt and I are both screwed.
I was going to say, he was like, he crashed my dad's Volvo trying to buy cigarettes.
And wasn't even sorry.
Yeah. God, I could never murder someone because I got plenty of people who are just like, listen, he was never violent, but let me tell you some stories about this big mouth Billy Bass he once had.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wait, is this true, Matt?
Yes. Which part? The me fucking the big mouth Billy Bass?
Did you fuck the big mouth Billy Bass?
I did. I did. But I didn't actually fuck its mouth because its mouth doesn't have a hole in it. So the true story is that I ripped the skin off of the fish because it's rubber and then I masturbated with the skin.
That is pretty fucking deranged.
Yeah, it's kind of worse.
Yeah, this is like something a dolphin would do.
You did that to your dad?
My dad's big mouth Billy Bass, yes.
So you were trying to prove something? Or
no, he wanted to fuck it.
Oh. I just wanted to fuck it. I wasn't mad at him.
Okay, so you weren't like, you love this more than me.
Yeah, you always like this thing.
You always here's your precious bass.
Your precious bass.
You never laugh at my jokes.
I just
take
like
me to the river, Dad.
I sing funny songs too, Dad.
Every time I'm trying to like talk to him, he just presses the button.
Yeah, and this is how you got into song parody.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you think to give it like a sexy name? Like, did you name it like the Bonnie Bass so that you could justify
I called it Billy Ass. No, there was no like name. I wasn't gonna because you name it, then it's like it feels weird to kill it.
How long did you stare at it before you did this?
For months I would look at it sing and it'd be like, what that mouth do?
And it's singing Take Me to the River and the only part he hears is Take Me.
Take Me.
All the other part fuzzes out.
You absolutely cannot commit a murder. You absolutely cannot become a suspect in a murder because if someone hears this, it's all over for you.
It's all over for me.
First of all, at least you got in front of the story like RFK Jr.
That's right.
Got in front of those stories. So at least like, I already admitted this on my podcast.
I'll just say that. Guys, I talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I told you I wasn't a choir boy. Of course I cut a whale's head off.
Yeah.
Right.
What's your question?
Was it still mounted and did you...
No, I didn't like climb up.
Not until he got to it.
But like I thought, okay, in my head that I assumed you wanted to fuck the bass because when you press the button, its mouth moved and you wanted it to chew on your dick.
That's exactly right.
So, but then when you realized the mouth didn't open, you had to be MacGyver. Well,
plan B.
I was like, skin is soft and I'm super horny and this has got to happen. And because I was like, you know, at this point, I was young enough that I'd never owned any soft rubber before. And I was like,
now, where you have always filled with soft rubber.
You didn't have that water weenie thing.
So I was like, you know, I just was like, you know, let's try it. We'll put a little lotion on it, see what happens. And then,
how was it?
Well, it was great.
You came? Did you come under the skin?
Yeah, I came in with skin. I just to be clear, the skin was completely ripped off. My dick wasn't rubbing on the plastic skeleton.
Got it.
No, I just pulled
on the
it
rubber
off.
Skin. Yeah.
Oh, you just used the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Got
I just
it.
Pulled
got it.
The skin.
Got
well, he
it.
He first wanted. See, I think he wanted to fuck the fish mouth while it was singing "Take Me to the River."
I didn't want it. It didn't need to sing. It just needed to move.
I thought, oh, he wants to hear the gagging. Take the garbled "Take Me to the River."
I like that the fish would gag.
Yeah, I wanted to hear it go. Oh. Stop it, Laura!
Choke me,
I
Daddy.
Can't breathe. Don't worry.
So what did you tell your dad about the
nothing
fish?
It just was gone and no one questioned it. No one ever said like, hey, where's my big
mouth Billy? It's underneath the floorboards going, take me to the river.
The telltale Billy
oh
bat.
My God.
The telltale Billy bat.
Yes.
Honk, nevermore.
Oh my God.
But yeah. Anyways, yeah, so I could never be a suspect in a murder because of that,
yes.
Probably.
Mm.
But yeah, I feel like him getting kicked off the golf, like, once again, this is another, like, butterfly effect situation where I would never admit that I got him kicked off the golf team, because that story doesn't sound like, you know, oh, so I had a run-in with a killer. It sounds like one in a series of factors that eventually led to the murder of Lacey.
Yeah, he's acting like he's the guy who kicked Hitler out of art school.
Exactly. Right, that's
and
what
like,
that's
well,
how
this
I
is
feel
my
it.
Fault.
Right.
Every villain needs an origin story.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I would take that shit to my grave because I'd be like, I don't want people to know that I'm a factor in this eventual murder. You know, not that right. He's a conscious factor, but I'm just saying the way, you know, timelines, right? Multiple dimensions.
Well, technically, he could be a factor because Scott's life would have been in a different direction if he maybe became a professional golfer.
Yeah.
If he was still in Arizona playing golf with Phil
Mickelson.
He'd
murder someone from Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Or maybe,
maybe he'd be like a pussy hound. I don't know how much golf guys get, but...
Not a lot.
I mean, Phil Mickelson, probably, you know, probably a decent amount.
I mean, once you're
I
at
will
that
say,
level.
Later.
I would like to pose a question to the true crime experts here. Mm. I mean, I was just, I don't remember his Diane Sawyer interview at the time. So watching it on the Netflix special or series, I was like, holy shit. I mean, that could not have gone worse for him. Like,
I agree. I didn't remember a lot from this case either. In fact, I confused a lot of it when Desi and I were talking about it the other day with the Chandra Levy case because they happened around the same time.
Yeah,
but I do remember it. I don't recall ever seeing this Diane Sawyer interview, but this is, at least in the documentary, this seems to be the first time that somebody in the press has said, hey, your son's also missing. Your unborn child is also missing, and we haven't really heard you say anything about that. And I thought that was pretty damning. Because wouldn't you also be like, oh, like emphasizing like she's 8 months pregnant?
I mean, the part where he
have a kid.
Yeah, that. But I don't know. To me, the more damning part was when she like asked him, like, what does he remember about his wife or what does he miss about her?
He was
couldn't
like,
come up with a damn
he
thing.
He was like, she was so hot. Like soup.
Yeah.
I just like the way that she completed me. It was like Jerry Maguire. You mean like Jerry Maguire? I just like the way she showed me the money.
It's also weird
the way that she had me at hello, you know what I mean?
It's like he's not even smart enough to come up with it. It's like that's obviously something they're gonna ask you.
Yeah.
You right. can't come up with two fucking things to say in advance. You know you're doing this interview.
Yeah,
like,
it was the stupidity and the inarticulateness where I'm like, okay, I could see this guy being just stupid and inarticulate enough to not be able to tell his pregnant wife that he wants to divorce her.
Right, and short-sighted enough to be like, oh, I'm going to just kill you.
Yeah,
like, it'll just go away.
Which is just, it is kind of insane.
I'll just tell the cops I was actually just at the place where I dumped her body, and that way they'll think it's a good alibi.
Which, now is as good a time as any to add that in the Peacock special, the family insists that he must be innocent because it's absolutely ridiculous that he would go all the way to Berkeley to dump the body. Never mind that there's proof that he was in Berkeley anyway. So
like a receipt.
right. But the obvious culprits are these burglars who had the burnt van with the mattress with no blood on it, who also then drove to Berkeley and dumped her body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like what they're hanging the whole thing.
He also said he was going fishing and I don't know.
He said he was going golfing.
He said he was going golfing and then he changed it to fishing and like,
well, it's so stupid.
The first place that occurs to me to go fishing would not be the San Francisco Bay. Like, it's not like the first thing that I associate.
Get those Oakland
fish. Scallops and oysters. So he went to the bay. His excuse for not going golfing was it's rainy and cold.
Yeah, so he said it's cold.
Let me get out on a body of water. Let me get out on arguably the coldest body of water in the United States.
Yeah, yes. That was the weirdest thing. In fact, in the documentary, they don't actually they don't comment on that. They just said, well, he said it was cold. He was going to go golfing, but it was too cold. So we went fishing.
Yeah, and
I was
he got on a boat.
I was like, what are you talking about? What, isn't that worse? What is it?
Right.
And then because no one said anything, I was like, I don't know. Maybe I just don't know about fishing. It's like, oh, but in fishing, you can wear layers, whereas in golfing, you can't.
That's, yeah. Yeah. That is that, there's some truth to that.
Okay. Well, there
but
we go. He's
not
innocent.
Like some expert fisherman. This was his first. This, like you said, this was his maiden voyage. He just bought the boat.
Yeah.
It's just too suspicious.
And didn't tell anyone.
None of it makes sense. I think we're all pretty much in agreement that he did that shit.
I don't know, man. It does feel like a Gone Girl situation because I never saw the body. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I personally never saw the body.
To me, the most baffling thing is that he clearly, based on what we're talking about, planned this, but the way it went off makes more sense that he did it last minute and scrambled. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, this isn't usually how it goes when someone plans something. This would make more sense if it was like killed in the heat of a passion. Maybe he tries to break up with her, he kills her, and then he has to do this whole thing last minute. But he actually planned this, which is crazy to me. Like, he's so bad at this.
Yeah, he got like distracted mid plan. Was like, oh fuck it, it'll work out.
Yeah,
I basically got it.
But how do you think that knowing the husband is always the first suspect? It's
wild
to me.
Well, you would have to know that first.
I don't think he knows that.
Okay,
I don't think he knows that. He probably thinks they'll never suspect me. I'm the husband.
I don't know. I'm the husband. I'm the one who loves the most.
This is crazy to me, though. He's so stupid.
I like that his plans for everything are just like so stupid that it's plausible that he didn't do it because you're like, who could be that stupid? And I think he wrote that into the plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he was just like, you know, I'll tell them exactly where I was. And that's, you know, if they find the body, it'll be proof that I didn't do it. Cause why would I tell them where I was if I did it, which I am doing it. It makes sense.
The explanation, by the way, for him having like the full like escape kit in San Diego was that he had sold his car, so he had $10,000. But they even say, even his sister-in-law is trying to defend him, is like, well, he had sold his car like 3 days earlier. So he's just like has $10,000 in cash just like sitting in his car. Like you're not going to take that out.
With all that other shit that was like hella incriminating. Right. Like,
and yeah, he had his brother's ID because he was going to golf for cheaper at Torrey Pines.
And he bleached his hair.
Yeah.
Just for
to me,
purpose.
That was the big thing.
It was 2000, whatever.
Yeah. He's one of those frosted tips.
It's also, to me, some of the more damaging evidence, too. It's not even like real evidence, but the fact that he like trashed the nursery with junk and was going to sell the house, I was like, you would never do that unless you knew your wife was dead. Like,
Well, I don't even think, even if you knew your wife, even if he like believed, if he was innocent, he believed like she's probably dead. I'm just saying, like, me personally, I don't think I would ever go in that room again.
Yeah. No.
Like, it would be too painful.
You wouldn't start using it as storage.
Wouldn't. Like, There's no fucking way that he would just be like, all right, well, now this is my room again. Like, there's no fucking way.
But that's what also bothers me, because it's like, you're so dumb, you don't even know to look like you're not guilty, you idiot. Well, like,
interesting thing about him is that he is, I think, by all accounts, like, just based on the, you know, evidence of all of this, like, a sociopath, right? Like, he is a sociopath. You have to be a bit of a sociopath, I think, to, like, murder your wife and unborn child.
I mean, just, like, even if, whether he did it or not, just to tell your mistress that you are in France while your wife, to cover for the fact that your wife is missing, like, that is sociopath behavior.
Well, hold
whether
on.
Or not
also,
he killed
also,
her.
Let's go back to the Mustang Daily.
Yeah.
Imagine buying a fucking ad in a newspaper and then, like, not paying for it and then being mad that, like, people aren't kicking down your door to like come in. Like, that's just a very weird.
No, so that's, like, all, like, different parts of, like, the manifestation of, like, that kind of, like, sociopathy, right? And, like, for a lot of people, it, like, comes out and, like, they become business guys, like Trump, whatever. He just just, like, he just does stuff and he doesn't pay for it, and he can sue because he's got money already. What's interesting about Scott Peterson is, like, he's almost, like, handicapped by it in a way where, like, he didn't know to think about things like, you have to feel like you are sad. You have to look like you are sad. And he's just, like, you know, he couldn't even fake it because he didn't know. It's like he was almost like handicapped by it, which,
because,
you know, makes him a victim if you think about it.
Well, sometimes sociopaths, I think, they're actually very good at emulating human emotion.
Right.
Because they are good at faking it. They're experienced and smart sociopaths. He's not one of those.
He's a dumb sociopath.
He's a dumb sociopath who didn't take the time to learn how to fake it.
Yeah. Which is, like, you know, I think we can at least be grateful that he didn't turn into, like, a Ted Bundy or whatever, you know?
Yeah, he was too stupid for that.
Yeah, so it's kind
he's
of...
Ted Blundy.
Yeah, it's more like Ted Blunders, you know what I mean? You know?
I also think he thinks he's smarter than he is.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. And then he probably has this, like, I'm unjustly, people don't get me how smart I and cool I actually am. It's like this unwarranted, like, ego.
He definitely has narcissism. He's probably bitter that at the time he was only making $5,000 a month before taxes at his job. He has a baby on the way. They're in Fresno. Right? Where are they?
Modesto.
I'm sorry, Vince. I'm so
Jesus,
sorry.
Rachel.
Matt did it too. That's okay.
Who wouldn't want to? I would be glad he killed me.
I do have a Modesto story. So this whole thing's kind of funny to me because it's like, he grew up in San Diego where I went to college, and then he had to move back to Modesto, which is, like, you know, it's in the Central Valley. It's like a slightly worse version of Fresno. I went to an engagement party of one of my friends in Modesto when I was still living in San Francisco. And, you know, like, I knew the engagement party was going to go, like, pretty well into the night, and we were just going to sleep there and then drive back to San Francisco, which isn't that far. But so basically I wasn't, like, looking for, like, a nice place to stay. And so, like, all of the hotels were, like, I don't know, $85-$90 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Motel 6, which was, like, $70. And in my head, I was like, how much worse can the Motel 6 be to be, like, it's a chain. Can't be that bad, right? Like, you know, $20 less. Like, how bad could it be? We're just going to sleep there, whatever. So we got there. There was, like, cars that were up on jacks, like someone had stripped them, like, in the parking lot of the Motel 6. And we went in, and then, like, the bedspread was, like,
oh no,
had, like, a stain on it. It was, like, nasty, and like, we didn't have enough towels. So I went to the office to go, like, try and get some of the stuff traded out. And I walk into the office, and the guy who's running the office at the Motel 6.
You want to buy some hubcaps?
No, he's fully nodding out. He's fully nodding out at the he's nodding out at the desk, like drooling on himself, like in full nod, like And I'm standing in the doorway going like, and then the manager like walks in, looks over at the guy nodding and just goes like, what can I help you with?
Oh my God. The funny thing in the Hulu documentary is they spend like a huge 15 minute or so segment on how shitty Modesto is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It
First
made
of
me
all,
laugh.
You need to realize, before you judge this guy as someone who murdered his wife in cold blood.
Look, their next door neighbor got their house robbed on Christmas Eve and it was literally just a coincidence.
Yeah. Right. No, they were like, and here's a block away from their cute home. And it was like a shithole street. Yeah. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So just so you know, I think you'd kill your wife if you lived in this place. So...
don't judge me.
Did they actually have interviews for the Hulu doc? Did they interview Scott?
Yes. They didn't interview Scott, but they had a lot of the true crime online sleuths. Had people in Modesto talking about how shitty it was for that segment.
Like a Modesto expert.
It was like it was this woman who looked like maybe an ex drug addict or something. She just had that vibe and she was like, yeah, it's really bad here.
It's really bad.
I'm trying to get out. Like
it sucks like, here. Also, I killed Lacey Peterson.
It was just kind of like something I hadn't really seen in a doc. I was like, this really is pro Scott because why are we seeing this exactly? Like, right. I mean, I guess they were trying to say like it could be. They also had something about like this gang of people killing pregnant women. I don't know if they have that
yes, famously.
That one. And I was like, and then they show the map and I was like, well, they're like 200 miles apart, some of them. It's not like in a 3-block radius. Like
Right next to each other though, if you zoom out, they're right next to each other.
The Peacock series, they actually interview him while he's still in San Quentin.
No way.
And
that's the new one, right?
Does he mention Gone Girl?
I don't think so. But that's a great alibi.
I would love for him to see Gone Girl and just be like, exactly. What I'm saying, dude. People don't believe me.
If only it came out in 2002, he might have had some more.
So he's every bit as unconvincing and off-putting as he is in like the Diane Sawyer interview and every other video you see.
And he's got a ponytail.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So his whole style keeps changing.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is, I know Vince will get this. There was a coach that the New York Giants had for a little while named Ben McAdoo. And he had like a different look every week. And it was very weird. And then of course in New York, the media is like, what's going on here? You know? And like, so he did the thing. He had his hair like slicked all the way back, but like completely flat to his head.
Yes. But why would he choose to get the early 90s villain?
No, he was giving Steven Seagal.
Yes. Ponytail, but it's like a mini ponytail. It's like a little petite.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You wouldn't necessarily know
until
it was there.
He turns to the side and you gasp.
Yeah. And then, And then he's got, but then he's kind of got like a curly perm sort of thing going on later.
Oh.
And then at one point he's got, he's just got short hair, like a crew cut almost.
Who's doing his hair? Yeah,
why did this finally make me interested? I was like, I gotta see that curly perm.
Yeah. Now I kind of want to watch it. Just see what his hair looks like.
Yeah. Perms may be overstating it, but it's like, it's curly.
Yeah. He's trying something new.
Look, he's in prison. What else is he going to do?
I'm going to try a new hair thing. I don't know. I'm bored.
Well, I feel like prison's a place where you could put a target on your back if you're constantly changing up your style. No?
I mean, I feel like the target on his back would be for killing his unborn baby.
That's true.
Yeah.
And his wife. But, I do wonder how he's doing. I will say the one part of the documentary that I was like, oh, no, that's not good, was when they gave him the death penalty. Just because I'm like anti-death penalty. Just like the way whenever I see a large group of people, who are just like, and the jury decided death penalty. And everyone's like, Yay! I'm just like, what's wrong with you?
Very weird.
What's yeah. like? What? What? Like? Yeah. What, how empty is your life that you're just like, I just need to see him die by the state?
you're just, it's weird like, to be outside a trial cheering like that. It's just like. Yeah. I don't get it. Also, don't get being mean to the parents of him, like in the family.
Yeah. That's really sick.
It's just like, come on, like,
right? Yeah. Like somebody telling the sister, burn in hell.
It's like they didn't do anything. Yeah, they're as snowed by him as anyone was.
Right.
Like,
right.
And there's his sister-in-law, wasn't it?
Burn in hell.
Burn in hell.
Yeah, I just
your brother married his brother. Ah.
There's nothing
whatever.
Better than someone who is. Crusading for justice being an absolute asshole.
Yes.
And being like, you're a bad person, you fucking dickhead. I hope you die.
I hope you die as a penance for the murder that you did. And it's like, well, okay, so you also want to kill somebody. It just I just hate the I just hate because it was in Redwood City too, which is a courthouse that I know only because my friend Lauren is a public defender there, and I just am imagining the types of people who would go to that courthouse to be like, "Who are we gonna kill this week?
String them up!
String them up! Yeah,
you live in a
I've got a bloodlust.
Yeah, you live in a $3 million house. Get out of here!
Yeah, get out of here! What are you doing? Yeah,
yeah.
And that's not to say that like he's not someone who like if Lacey Peterson's mother, you know, cornered Lacey Peterson's mother cornered Scott and shot him. I'd be like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And she shouldn't go to prison for it, you know.
But she's the only one with a personal like
right
like need to kill him, right? Like
right. And also she probably wouldn't. She would just be like, you know, let him fucking rot in prison for the rest of his life, you know? Like,
well, it's always interesting when the families of the victims are less bloodthirsty than strangers.
Yeah, right. Right. You've lost the thread because I've been watching this on TV for months and I've been like, oh, I hope they get them. Fucking weirdos, man.
It is weird.
Nothing worse than that kind of person. Maybe the person who murders people is also worse.
Yeah, that's.
But they're just different versions of that, though. They're just a different. They're a more cowardly Scott Peterson.
Yes. Yes.
It's like people just like, I like Dexter because I just like when people die, but I want there to be a good reason that leaves me to be a good person.
Yeah, I want
to
be
I need
good
to be a good person when I, you know, express my need to kill.
Yeah.
I'm Matt, good. What?
We didn't get to this clip last week, and I really wanted to play it just because it's so good. If we're shifting gears, which I think we are.
Yeah, shift gears, and then we call it a pod.
Yeah. Can we play that Trump clip that I sent you?
Here's a Trump clip that you sent me.
Kamala has one big advantage. She's a very beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman. So I decided to go back and reread the clause. I'm not saying he's, but I say that I am much better looking than her. I think I'm much better. Much better. Looking person than Kamala. No, I couldn't believe it. She said, you know, I had never heard that one. They said, no, her biggest advantage is that she's a beautiful woman. I'm going, huh. I never thought of that. I'm better looking than she is.
I'm so hot. I'm so hot. With the biggest tits.
Many are saying it.
Many are saying
that's like my favorite voice of his. Where it's like,
right, where it's really breathy.
Yes,
it's very breathy. She's a beautiful woman,
and that's where he's saying the most insane shit when he has that voice on.
Yes.
Oh, because
he
God.
Knows, like, he's getting so much feedback from the crowd. He's like, I know I can do anything here. I can really get big with this.
He's like,
one.
Let's do sotto voce right now.
Oh, crazy.
He has levels.
Oh my God.
Have
you seen Gone Girl? That girl.
She pretended to be dead.
Yeah, poor Ben Affleck. Affleck treated very unfairly.
Very unfairly by the media, by the crooked media, the lying media said Ben
Everyone
Affleck
said he killed her.
Yeah. But he didn't.
He didn't. She was a gone
But they
girl.
Indicted him.
Yeah. Doogie Howser.
He was perfect. Yeah. They indicted him anyway.
Yeah. Unfair.
There was
Tyler Perry, great lawyer in that movie. Great lawyer.
One of the best lawyers.
One there of was, the best lawyers. Dresses there was, like
say
a
the
woman.
Best.
Yeah. But you
Madea.
Know.
Great grandmother Madea.
She was an angry black woman.
Yeah.
Rest
but
in she peace. She was writing a diary.
God, I wish one of us could do his voice.
I know.
I'm not even trying.
So there was this story this week where he went to Arlington Cemetery and was like trying to film like a publicity thing where he like poses at the graves of the people that were killed after like the Afghanistan withdrawal. And like he got the person like who's in charge of the cemetery tried to kick him out because you're not allowed to do that. And then they like, you know, they pushed her aside. And then I sent you another clip map, or it's actually on the dock, but there's JD Vance trying to defend this whole situation, which is also very good.
Yeah,
you guys in the media, you're acting like Donald Trump filmed a TV commercial at a gravesite. He was there providing emotional support to a lot of brave Americans who lost loved ones they never should have lost, and there happened to be a camera there, and somebody gave him permission to have that camera there.
That he was filming a commercial. He was filming like
they
a
released it that
video.
Day.
Because if you see the video,
they released the video of him there.
There's like guitar music underneath it. It's clearly edited into a commercial.
The thing that makes me laugh about it is it's so clearly like when people try to gonzo film something without a permit.
Yeah.
Like I just picture him going in doing the thumbs up. Like we gotta get this go. Let's go.
No,
let's go. Let's go.
I have the news article. Following the wreath laying, photographs from his visit showed Trump grinning and flashing a thumbs up sign as he stood at the graves of several of the fallen family members.
I love him. He's such a fucking doofus. It's fucking so stupid.
It's so dumb. It's like when he did that stunt with the Bible. It was
yes.
And then remember, like he held it up like this, like with his hand on the bottom.
Yes.
It was just like very funny.
Like someone who's never held a book before.
No.
Yes, exactly. I remember when he was running, the funniest thing ever was this clip that this is back when we didn't think he was gonna be the president, so it was very funny.
It's still funny.
Where he's just like, and my favorite book is, guess, the Bible. I was like, yeah, clap, you fucking trained seals. You love this. Oh, God.
So the thing I've been thinking about is I don't want to, you know, dance before we get into the end zone, but he's really looking rough.
Yeah.
And he's looking like things are in dire straits. Obviously, the Vance pick was disastrous. But... I feel like he can't stay out of the spotlight long enough to not run in 2028 if he's still alive.
He's going to run until he's dead, unless he wins, which I am still pretty worried about. I don't know.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but to be honest, after 2004, which is the first time I ever voted, and George, I said certainly no one would vote for George W. Bush again.
Right.
I was very wrong. And ever since then, I have never put it past this country to,
to make the dumbest possible choice.
Yes.
We will not be hiring a mariachi band ahead of time time.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
Unlike last time, 2016, that was a mistake we made over at AJ
mariachi band.
Oh boy.
Yeah, because they were doing the live stream of the election results and just watching everyone's face just kind of go I went over to the mariachi band. I said, "Guys, I think we're gonna call it."
Lo siento.
Please don't
let us go home now.
I was speaking at an AA meeting.
Oh boy!
I was the speaker at like 7:30 p.m. at an AA meeting at a gay rehab and the TV was on because it was inside of this rehab. And
is it a rehab for gay people or rehabilitating people from being gay?
It was like queer okay. addicts. Queer addicts and
right.
alcoholics.
It wasn't like, let's get you straight.
No. Yeah, and I was very sad Trump won. But everyone was like, I mean, I couldn't help it. Like everyone just like collectively burst into tears and I had to finish. I was like, do I still have to speak?
Yeah.
Do I still have to give a talk right now about how great recovery is?
Yeah.
I need a drink.
I mean, that's the thing about it is like you were probably in the best possible place to be.
Yes.
Because the only thing that kept me from relapsing, because it was, I wouldn't say I was close, but there was like part of me that was just like, God damn, I could use a drink. I'm not gonna let the election of Donald Trump ruin my life.
Right.
It was just, it was pure spite decision. Like, no, I'm not gonna let him be a part of my timeline. You know,
right?
Instead of an apology, the Trump campaign attempted to turn around the narrative of the Arlington incident, with senior officials separately branding the cemetery's representative, quote, a despicable individual who was, quote, experiencing a mental health episode.
Wait. Yeah, that's Stephen Chung. That's the good Stephen Chung stuff. He's just a complete asshole.
Wow, everybody. That's a pull, Brendan. There was no physical altercation as described, and we are prepared to release footage if such defamatory claims are made, the campaign's communication director, Stephen Chung, said in a statement.
Yeah.
The fact is that a private photographer who was permitted on the premises, and for whatever reason, an unnamed individual, clearly suffering from a mental health episode, decided to physically block members of President Trump's team during a very solemn ceremony.
I mean, the great thing about all these awful, damning stories that come out about Trump is knowing that none of this matters. None of this will ever be his downfall with his supporters.
No. Nothing means anything. It's just, it's all, God, I wish I just, if people had the faith in me that they have in Trump,
right,
I could be doing Dilaudid to this very day. You know what I mean?
I just want to understand the brain of these people. Like, I just am so curious about like the thought process, even just people who think he's cool. Just that.
Where you're like, oh, what a cool guy. Like, I totally understand the people who are just like, I like him. Like, I get liking him because he's a likable person in terms of like, he's like,
this is too funny to stop watching.
Yeah,
he's funny.
Like, he's funny and he like makes jokes and he fucking, people have this thing where if someone is like funny, they attribute all this other shit. Like they must be a super genius. They must be like 10 steps ahead of everyone. You have to be so clever. So like, I understand like kind
of
a
funny
basic...
and rich too. I mean,
right.
I get all of that. What I don't get is the fucking, like, I saw a video of like these two, like, Southern, maybe like Midwestern, you know, like it's a mom and her mother. So like an 80-year-old woman and a, 50-year-old woman singing this like country song about Trump. And I just was like looking at them and like, the lyrics are just like, move on over,
he's going to drain the swamp.
Yes. Yeah. And then they called the nickname for Nancy Pelosi was Stubborn Nancy, move on over, Stubborn Nancy. And I'm just thinking like, for them, that's probably as close to a swear word or an insult as they can get as like, Christian women. And I'm like, well, that's sweet. Why do you like Donald Trump? Like, what do you like about him?
That is the people who deify him are definitely the most bizarre, where they're like, moved by him.
Oh yeah.
Where they're like, they really think like they get tears in their eyes or they think he says powerful things. That's probably the most baffling.
Like, have you ever seen someone who just looks more checked out in every single fucking thing they do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, never.
Yeah.
And someone who's like almost like trying to like insult you to your face in different ways. Like him with the Bible thing where he was just like, I bet these idiots will clap when I say my favorite book is the Bible.
And instead, people are like, yeah. He's like, like, the amount of, like, resentment, just, like, hatred and disgust he must have for human beings at this point. Right. Like, just... Come on, guys. You don't see it in his face.
Like, he hates you.
He hates
I mean, that's
that.
What's funny about him.
Yes, that's what I... That's the yeah. thing I like
that's
about
him. That's why he's funny.
That's what's the most relatable thing
everyone.
About him.
Yeah. What, did you guys just... see the Lee Greenwood Bible he's hawking?
No.
Yes, yes.
That's a checked good. Out commercial, too. Like,
oh, the trading card one that oh just my came
God.
Out. That
the trading
great.
Card one, he is... Oh, my God. At the end, he says, have a good time. Imagine ending a commercial. Have a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Have fun.
And he's like, I did it in one take.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ, this guy.
Enjoy this slop, you hogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Eat, put your snouts in it. Gulp it up. Oh, anyways, that seems like a pod to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Scott Peterson. I still think you're innocent, buddy. She's a gone girl.
She gone girled him.
She's gonna come back.
He was innocent and she gone girled him.
She treated him like a dog.
She treated him like a dog. She's over at Doogie Howser's house and they're laughing at him. They're laughing at our country. They're laughing at the justice system.
The late great Doogie Howser.
Oh God. Well, Desi, Rachel, thank you guys so much for coming on the Fraudcast. Where can people find you?
You can find us at Hollywood Crime Scene anywhere you get your podcasts, Hollywood Crime Scene at Instagram, and we are going on tour in a number of cities this fall, coming up pretty soon, so you can check out those dates on our Instagram.
Hell to the yeah. Patreon.com/Fraudcast, Fraudcast@gmail.com. Brendan, do you want to take us on out of here?
Yeah. Fraudcastbrendan@gmail.com if you want to reach out personally. And yeah, Desi, Rachel, thank you so much.
Thanks for
everybody
having
me. Listening to their podcast. It's outstanding. And thanks as always for listening, everybody out there. Don't get Scott Peterson. Don't get Lacey Peterson. Don't get Connor Peterson. Terrible, terrible fate.
Don't get Jordan Peterson.
What if you got Jordan Peterson and you just come back and you're like,
weeping.
Oh, what happened to the Disney princesses are no longer archetypes of the female. Sorry. Anyway,
you got
yes.
gone girled in Serbia.
All meat diet.
All right. Until next week, good night and good chins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.